Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Boom! We are live. We're live. We're here. I mean, greetings to Mark Prince. Right. Big up everybody who's come on here. I see Tunde Kalelo. I see Andre Bukenya. I see Ali Nasheer. I see quite a few. Rob Meyer. Who else is on there so far? Right. Anyway,
welcome.
We start in the famous words of Baba Tunde Ajayi. And Mark Prince has just gone off somewhere. Dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on up.
Yeah, Mark's got my piece today. Yep, we've got a busy show. I've just literally just come back in from the London X Boxers Association awards. It was nice to see James Cook.
James is down there, yeah?
So how come you went down there today, Mark? What's going on?
Honestly, I must not have been in touch, bro, because I didn't even know. They're always messaging me. I must have missed that email. So I'm sorry, man. I'd love to see them.
It happens. Mark, you sound a little bit low, you know? You sound a little bit low, bro.
Really? Oh, maybe it's because I'm too far away. Yeah, maybe it's because I'm too far away. I'm going to come in closer.
Yeah. That'd be better. Yeah. Or all that money that you got right now, invest in a microphone.
You know what, I've probably got one somewhere I can link up with, you know.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. Big up Malik as well. Yeah, I mean, the CEO, the real hype man, big up yourself. You know what? We've had an eventful few weeks of boxing and camelating. Like, you were down there for Boatsy. I never got time to touch base with you.
What a rock.
Yeah. Boatsy versus Dennis. We never got time to talk about that rock.
No, we didn't. That was a nice one. Had his moments.
It was a good fight. Yeah, Mark, we're getting feedback on your thing, you know, because you got your headphones in, you know.
How's that?
Yeah, way better.
Beautiful. Gotcha.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So I'm saying, like, it's great when we think about that fight the other day. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you were fortunate enough to do that piece for Boxer that got a little viral effect on it, a little viral movement. This is what I want to say to this, right? Because we're going to get on to further things because we are going to speak about Ngannou versus Joshua. No doubt. We're not going to forget that. We've got Dewey Cooper who's going to be joining us. I don't know, maybe in about 45 minutes because he was just out with the team that actually had some dinner. So,
Dinner.
So he's going to phone me afterwards. But what I am saying is this. If we look on, like, Boatsy's win, what did you take away from that fight, Mark?
I think the first thing that went through my head was, okay, Dan didn't bring it like I thought he was going to bring it. It seemed like he was still in that space where he knew his place as, this is how we spar, this is where I'm at. I didn't feel that sense of, I'm going to show you who I am now. Mm-hmm. That was sparring back then. And from the bell went, you could see where his mindset was strictly business. I'm going to put it on you from round one because you can't keep up my pace. I never saw that. I saw him kind of falling into place. Boatsy being able to develop his jab, scoring nicely. Boatsy got comfortable quite early, and that shouldn't have been a part of the play. I don't know what was going on, whether it was Dan's mindset or it was Buddy's advice in the corner, but they should have come out with smoke.
Right. I'm saying, thank you very much, Ali Nasheer. Thank you. Yeah, my trim's always big up Colby Cuts. Like I'm saying, with Dan in that fight,
yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I believe that he fought frightened in that fight. I believe, like, when he was throwing his punches, it seemingly to me looked like he was punching through watermark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It didn't seem like there wasn't no snap on his punches. I'm waiting to hear the story. Maybe he could have been ill going to the fight. I don't think it would have changed the result. Me being honest. Yeah. But I think Joshua Boatsy did what he had to do. It was kind of weird. Me watching it at home compared to watching it ringside seemingly was like two different fights. I was very impressed with the combination punches that were demonstrated by Joshua Boatsy, the sound of the punches, the sharpness of his punches. Yeah. But I also saw susceptibilities to, remember when we were doing it together, when we sat down, I said, Dan's shot's going to be the pull counter, right? And who was it? What's the boy's name? Savage Dan was saying, but does he throw a pull counter? And obviously he did because he was throwing a pull counter. And that's the shots that he was catching Joshua Boatsy with. But it was still a very, very good fight.
The overhand right was a worry for me, you know, Spence.
He weren't throwing it enough.
Overhand right that Dan was throwing was catching JB a lot. But JB didn't respect the power. So he didn't really do anything about it. He didn't change nothing like, oh, I'm getting hit with that punch. I remember being in fights and thinking, shit. Like, he must be seeing an opening I can't see because I'm getting hit by that punch once too often. So I have to adjust something. And I didn't see him adjust anything. And he kept getting hit by that punch throughout the night. So if it's a puncher, like Yard, coming in there.
I'm going to go on to Yard in a little bit. We'll continue. Let's not touch on Andy Yard yet.
I won't touch on that one. I'll just continue
on that specific fight. We're going to move to Andy Yard in a minute because I'm going to talk about Andy Yard's performance as well.
I'm going to say Boatsy needs to fix that because at world level, it's different. A man's going to expose certain openings at world level if he don't know to come away from punches and make sure that opening's not always there. Or he's leaving it to set it up to come back with something. And I didn't see that on the night. But obviously, we felt already that he had the skill set to be that better fighter than Dan already. I think naturally of both fighters, one's got more skill set than the other. Dan's worked his way up hard, worked to improve himself. He's grafted, deserves everything, and we love them both to the max. But if we just put them together as two talented human beings, then JB is like naturally more talented and sharper than Dan Aziz.
And that's 100%. 100%.
And Dan's showing that, and said, okay, you might be sharp and better talented, but you ain't got as much heart as me. I'm going to bring it to you and I'm going to test your heart. I didn't see that. And he's running with this haggler thing. So show me the haggler thing, innit? Show me the haggler heart, bro.
Well, he is trying to show the haggler thing. Maybe he needs to ball his head off. Yes, big up Country Done, a.k.a. the chairman. You had a wicked surprise 50th birthday yesterday. It was very, very touching. It was good to see all the old people. And big up Oris, our brother Reds. I ain't seen him for years and he come to the thing. So it was lovely, man. I've got to say, we saw Anthony Yard last week. Was you down there, Mark? Because it was hectic. I was down there. Got a big up hype as well. They sponsored that fight as well. They sponsored the show. Hamza Sarraz box. Really, really cool.
Oh, Anthony's fight.
Yes, Anthony Yard. What was your take on Anthony Yard's fight?
I missed that one. But because, probably because I knew it wasn't going to be like a crossroads fight, a testing fight or anything like that. I think Frank's got to keep Anthony busy because he's got some really good fights coming up. So I can't see Anthony slipping at this point and not representing and getting rid of anyone that shouldn't be in the ring with him.
You know what? I'm just going to be real with you. Last week's performance by Anthony Yard, irrespective of the opponent, right? It's not the opponent.
Yeah, I want to see him turn up, right?
No, the opponent come to fight, bro.
The opponent come to fight, yeah?
He came to fight. The opponent came to fight. The opponent came to try and lay hands. He must have thought he was in some evangelical church. I think he thought he was going to your church. He tried to lay hands on Anthony. A fair play to him, right?
Yeah.
But it was Anthony Yard. I think he's coming into himself. Similarly to Joshua Boyce. I think Joshua Boyce is actually finding himself as well. You know? That's why I think it's going to be a great fight. But the disregard what Anthony Yard showed for his opponent was... It wasn't even a disregard. It was a disrespect. Like, I don't business. I'm here to do a job that's going to take you out of there. And what I saw inside Anthony Yard was somebody he was actually comfortable in there. Right? Three blessings just taking it from him. Just there. I was amazed how comfortable AY looked, was trying stuff. And he was comfortable in trying stuff, and it all come out. It was a very, very sharp performance. That's why we need to see Joshua Boatse versus Anthony Yard.
That's similar.
No, Tony done a poll, put a poll out there as well. Who's next? And a little sprinklings of Yard versus Callum Smith, right? But they're only sprinklings. But the majority was categoric in saying that it should be Anthony Yard and Joshua Boatse next. That is it.
Exciting one.
Right, exactly. But here what? Let me just pull up on certain man now as well. I've got to pull up on certain man. Spencer Oliver Bridget from long term. Simon Jordan, I'm getting to know him. Just met the guy the other day. Come across really nice, but we have little Twitter beefs, which are really cool because I get mad numbers on the Twitter beef with him. Trust me, like, 1 million views on my tweets and stuff. So, right, but listen to this. Spencer Oliver, right, and Simon Jordan, right? Now, I don't need to take Simon Jordan's opinion because he ain't no boxing man. He's not in it. He's just giving an opinion from being an armchair critique that it's worked for him because he's been a business person that's done his thing and he's got a name. But
his brand as well, to be colourful.
Yeah, yeah. But Mark, check this one out. Would you validate this? Would you turn around and say the winner of Anthony Yard versus Joshua Boatse, gets the prize of fighting Callum Smith? Don't you think that's a bit of a libby?
The prize?
But yeah, Anthony Yard and Joshua Boatse fight each other, and then the winner should face Callum Smith.
Now, I'm calm with that. Just show me why he's the prize.
Thank you very much. Now, I'm saying this is like, when you're saying that, like, I'm no disrespect. I know Callum's been a fantastic basketball boxer. As a super middleweight, he's done nothing in the light heavyweight division, right? And people are judging Ante Yar's performance as a measuring stick to thinking Callum Smith will do against Batavia, because they were trying to disrespect the performance and the heart and the guts that was shown by Ante Yar. Not my words, but Turbio said that's his hardest fight that he's had. I'm not saying that, but Turbio said that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. So, yeah. If Batavia's saying that, we saw what Batavia have just done to Callum Smith. It weren't, you see that fight? It weren't pretty to watch. It was horrible to watch.
It reminded me of when Darius Mikulchowski came over and wiped the floor with Nicky Piper.
Yeah.
Nicky Piper used to commentate and say, I'm not even British level. I shouldn't even be fighting for the British title. And then I fought Darius, and it was a completely different fight. Darius wrote about me in his autobiography saying I was the toughest fight of his 40-odd fight career.
Well, you're putting the head of
Nicky Piper. So sometimes people kind of say things and it don't line up to it. What's evidence?
That was 99, isn't it? That you fought.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't walk around with me.
Yeah. Not yet. So you're close. You're one more. Yeah. You're on it, baby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Because, big up Bobby Wright. Thank you for the $4.99. If anything, AY is the prize. And that's how I'm seeing it right now. And the reason being is this. I'm going to say this. Exactly. And there's so much more what you get. And people say, oh, but you're biased. I'm not being biased. I'm being truthful. You know what I mean? Joshua Buatsi is a very, very good fighter and a very accomplished fighter. You know what I mean? And I rate the fact that he's taken himself away and he's gone over to Virgil Hunter and he's doing his work. I think it's coming together for him. Me being honest with you, I really do believe it's coming. Yeah, I believe that it's coming together for him. I'm just sitting
there. I loved his body punching.
It was very...
Because there came a time in my career that I really started getting into body punching, that double attack to the body. Jab upstairs, bap, bap, left, right, right side, left side. Beautiful. And he was pummeling that all night against Dan. And I know Dan was feeling it.
It was. Of course it was. He was. But, I mean, that's the thing which I really enjoyed. So I'm looking forward to seeing something happen. I heard Ben Shalom say something about the fight. And I'm interested to see, what happens. You know what I mean? Tubeless, you said tomorrow's press conference is going to be lit. What press conference are you talking about, Tubeless? Because I don't know what press conference is going on tomorrow. Or I'm going to have to start ring around these utes you work at and find out what's going on. But yeah. Oh, Josh and Cattrall. Let's just be real on that, yeah? I'm happy that the fight's going ahead as well, right? And I think it's going to be a pay-per-view, right? I believe.
Why it takes so long?
Exactly. It's taken long, and one man's on the ascent right now because I was impressed with Cattrall versus Jorge Linares. even though Jorge Linares is a former shell of himself, I was impressed with Catwell's performance. You know what I mean?
But you still got to represent at a high level to be Jorge.
Yeah. 100%. Of course. 100%. But I was impressed with it. I'm not going to turn around and say I wasn't impressed with it. You know, but this fight here with Josh Taylor hasn't fought in a hot minute, right? Last time out, we've seen him get beat by Teofimo Lopez, right? So, and is the fight still, you know what I mean? Is the fight, yeah, what are you saying? AY's numbers are mad and he's entertaining. And I have to agree, he does get crazy numbers. But this one I want to say is this, like, for the Catwell fight, yeah? Catwell versus Josh Taylor.
Yeah.
Josh Taylor, I'd like to know what weight this fight's going to be at, because everyone was talking that he was struggling to do 140. And, okay, Alfie Black is not pay-per-view, it's part of the DAZN subscription. Okay, cool. Well, I paid for that anyway, so yeah, I'll get that.
Exactly.
The same thing. It's still pay-per-view because I'm paying for subscriptions. But it's gonna be a good fight, man. It's gonna be a good fight. I should have called up either of them.
And my man's been running up his mouth saying he's gonna smoke him.
Well, what else can he do? You know what I mean, the two of them don't like each other neither. They really don't like each other.
He said it the first time. Well, I can understand that animosity, because he said all that talk the first time. Then he got smoked by Catwell, and they needed the judges to come on side for him to get that decision. So now they're having it again. He's probably more determined because it was so many people. How could so many people be telling you, bruv, you got it put on you? Yeah, you lost the fight. You needed the judges to help you. He's going to be feeling some animosity against all of that vibe, especially over social media. So he's going to be like looking to come back and do damage. I'm not sure if Carol's coming to lay down for anyone. And he's already shown the blueprint how to deal with this.
Listen, I can't remember who we had on. Was it? Lee Baird. He was a train, Catwell, saying like he's a special talent. And I didn't really get Jack Catwell's style of fighting. I know he's linked up with my guy Jamie Moore as well. And big up Nigel Travis. They're my guys for a long time.
Yeah.
But I saw his fight with O'Hara Davis. I thought O'Hara Davis was actually unlucky to not get that nod. Right? Right. So I think in this fight, O'Hara Davis would have been the ideal person to have gone to try and find out what his take would be on this fight, because he's fought both of them and he's lost to both of them. But like I said again, when he fought Catwell, I didn't think O'Hara Davis actually lost that fight. I'm going to be real with you. I thought like he could have squeezed it, but to see how Catwell was progressed on since then, I'm looking forward to see like that fight. I am looking to, because it is, as somebody, as Tubeless said, the press conference for those two is going to be lit. Yep.
Trust me, only one winner in that first
fight. It'll be a big boy fight, man. I mean, it'll be a big boy fight.
There was only one winner in that first fight.
Yeah, but listen, I remember we done the watch-along to that. And I remember when the judges' scorecards were announced, and I said, Tundi, they've robbed him, you know? I remember that. I looked for that film for that clip, because they did a job on him.
Now, people must understand how horrible that is for fighters. Your dream, your whole world you put into this day, and you've done everything possible apart from put him to sleep, but you've evidenced that you're better than this guy. You've taken his belt, and then these three guys that are just supposed to let everybody know the official decision, and then the other guy. Politics, bro. It's a sick feeling for fighters.
It is, bro.
Horrible, man.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
rear up. It's tough for him, man. He's got to have fights. Then your money's not on the level it should. It has such a massive impact. Huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just answer that. AAV develops. Tundi's got some family business to go and take care of. So Tundi's not joining me today. Hence why I've got my real backup in Mark Prince. You know what I mean? The Tottenham hitman. That's what I've got. That's what I've got today. Not only that, but when Mark came on a few weeks ago, we got great feedback from you guys. And I said, oh, yeah, when are you going to bring back Mark? When are you going to bring back Mark? And I said, yeah, don't worry, man. So Mark's joining me today to hold the fort for Tundi, and I think it's a brilliant standing as well.
Some platforms like
yeah, man. I'm trying to think, because I know we've got about 15 minutes to go before Dewey Cooper, yeah, the trainer of Francis Ngannou, joins us. If you guys didn't know, like, he was a world champion kickboxer, but what people seem to forget is that Dewey Cooper was also, he boxed pro in Thailand. After he finished kickboxing, he turned pro.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as he turned pro, I think he started like 25-3. He did decent career. You know what I mean, decent career, but his prime years were as a kickboxer. So, and the guy, he knows the fight game. He does know the fight game. And I think they'll be strategizing heavily.
Think about this, and I just want everyone listening to understand that just because you're a fighter doesn't necessarily mean that you make a good trainer. And because what's happened, right, guys, is some people just have a real gift of training other people, transferring the knowledge that they've got to give to the fighter, right? And that's a gift in itself, to understand mindsets, to be able to engage with the fighter and understand his development and preparing him for a 12-round fight so he doesn't overtrain. He peaks at the right time, right? There's so much involved in being a good trainer, right? And somebody don't have to go through a career to understand it. They can learn all these things being around guys who are experienced in the business, just like any career. You could be an apprentice. You know, my trainer coming up, Carly Carew, was a Guyanese guy that was into martial arts. But he went to America and spent so much years working with the top fighters down at the gym where Freddie Roach is, down at Gleason's gym as well, where Mike used to be training. They got some good trainers down there. So he learned a lot and honed his skills and was able to create a camp of fighters. And if there's a lightweight champion called Michael Ayers, Carly improved him so much and gave him longevity in his career. And I was just one of the fighters that Carly took from scratch. So imagine, yeah, I'm just raw, 21 years old, like, told I'm too old in the tooth to start fighting. And then this guy walks in my changing rooms and it's like my sixth amateur fight. No, it was about my seventh. And then the guy said, oh, I heard about you. How you feeling? I said, like, yeah, I'm cool. And then he just introduced himself. But later on, he became my trainer. But the words he said in that changing room, how you feeling? I said, I'm nervous. He said, bala nervous. Go out there, smoke this guy. And this guy ended up being Chris Oka, who became a future cruiserweight. Intercontinental champ, but because of Carly Carew's link up, I end up just having 9 amateur fights and then going over to a professional and striking up 18 wins with 15 knockouts. So he didn't have this long background of boxing experience. That's the point I'm trying to make, right? And we got to understand that that doesn't necessarily link up and make a successful trainer.
You know what? I remember, you see, people know me too well on this show. When I get up, they know it's food time. Tony, I know if Tony's watching this somewhere, maybe he's watching, if he ain't, but I know Manny is, but this is how this thing goes, right? Yeah. I went to the London X Boxers Association, mm-hmm, yeah? And if you see the little piece of food they give Matty,
you saw more plate than food, didn't it? It's so wrong.
The little piece of food that they tried to give man in this place, right? And then, hey, Mark, seriously, I love Julius Francis. I love him. He's my guy. You know what I mean? 100%. Viral Julius. Remember, he knocked out the poor man. Yeah. Right? And he went viral. But seriously, Julius Francis gives me motivation because, bro, have you seen Julius's belly?
Oh, 100%. I've seen it. You can't miss it.
Because his face ain't fat. His legs ain't fat. His arms ain't conditioned. It's just that he's got this big old belly on him.
Everything went down there, man. The whole kitchen.
Bro. And the thing is, the maddest thing is he's still fit. Because I've seen him in the gym when he's training kids, yeah?
Yeah, he's done it. Well, we saw that clip where he smoked that dude.
He smoked him.
Speed, bro.
He smoked the poor brother, man.
Yeah, man. Don't rap with fighters, man. Whether they've done their boxing career or not. Whether they got bellies or not.
Bro. From now on, right? Man said, "Give me stop lying, Spence. He ain't fit." Now, Tun, oh man,
yeah, he's probably right. That's a stretch. I'm with him on that one.
Nah. Bro, all I'm saying.
We know how to style it out. Let's put it that way.
No, you can't. You can't style it that way.
You have to style it out. He ain't going no 5-6 rounds.
I want man to realize this, Mark. How old are you now, Mark?
I'm 55 in March, bro. Next month. Right.
Mark Prince still has a 6-pack. I want man to realize that part there, yeah? Mark Prince still has a 6-pack. He's 55 years old. There is no one. Yeah.
I purchased it. I pay for it every day.
Nah, bro. I'm just saying, when I pull up at the thing, yeah? Because Jerry Cook got an award as well, right?
Yeah.
When I pull up at the thing, right? I pull up at the thing. And Jay Spades came as well. Big up Jay Spades. And...
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Julius came late because he said he was working at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But he come back. So when we pull up, was at the Connaught Rooms, really nice venue. When he pull up at the thing, yeah? He come to sit down at the table. You know, Julius was like, he's on the table, you know, because he's been...
I seen Julius, man.
No, Julius, come on, bro. I love you, man, but come on, man. And the thing about it, what? Have you seen Julius dance? Julius can dance wicked, you know?
Really?
He needs to do some box aerobics or something, bro.
He can't break down, so he can't do no windmill. He can't do crazy legs. Oh dear.
Boy, that's what I'm saying. I was like, boy, come on, Judas, come on. But yeah.
It's when you give up, man. It's when you just allow it. You allow it, you don't care. After a certain time, you see your belly growing, you're like, oh, man.
Now, you know what? I couldn't do that. But you know what I mean?
That's why I purchase mine, I pay for mine every day.
No, but I don't get it though, because his face ain't fat. His legs ain't fat. His arms ain't fat. His arms are still like in condition. Yeah. It's just
different different places.
You know what? Yeah, for real. Julius needs the stamina for sale 40-day and 40-night fast.
100%.
You know, needs that, or they have to give him. Or oh, what's that thing? Gastric man. You're the gastric man thing where they just look up to you can't eat.
Bro, listen, if he just rolls with me for 2 months, bro, 2-3 months, bro, you'll see the difference.
All right, I'm going to send a message out to Julius Francis that Mark Prince is offering to come
and do
the work with him for that duration of time so you can lose up that weight. That's light work.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the transformation in him. Top that belly without no pain.
Come on.
No NHS. You
know, he's just said, although I want Yard versus Boatse to be a stadium fight, I don't think it will be because Boatse has not built himself nor his brand at all compared to Yard. It takes two to make a big stadium fight. I hear that, but this is how I disagree with you. Right? Because a lot of the people on the streets are talking about it. To have a stadium fight, people are thinking stadium fight, 90,000 people. That's not necessarily true. When Chris Billy Smith fought the other day in his home ground stadium, I think that was like 12,000 people. Right? When there are smaller venues, Joshua Boatse being from the ends of Croydon, Crystal Palace football ground on Holmesdale Road, that'd be an ideal spot. I think that's what, 25,000. I think they could do something with it. I don't think it would be like when, you remember when Herbie Hyde fought Michael Bent for WBO, they had that. Well, thank you very much. Crystal Palace is 25,000. So I believe that they can hold that at Crystal Palace football ground. That when people say it's a stadium fight, and it's not only me just saying it's a stadium fight. Steve Bunn said it was a stadium fight, right? Outdoor fight, I think it'd be great. You know, I mean, I've got loads of ideas from it, but I'm waiting for who, if this was to happen. Interesting. Right. Raymond Hell, Spencer, don't block me or think I'm being negative, but ask not Tundi to be so defensive when it comes on giving props to Boatse. It's not a slight on AY. Okay? Well, I'm saying this to you, Raymond. I have no problem with, you know what? I'll tell you what, I like both guys. I'm going to be real with you. I really do like Joshua Boatse. I got a lot of love in my heart for Joshua. He's a very nice kid. And Antti Jaan I've known for many, many a year now. From he was an amateur when Tundi brought him down to the Pug Rooney's gym in, at the time there was at London Bridge. And he brought him into spa. And he sparred with Chris Eubank Jr. And it was incredible, that spa. I wish I had filmed it, but I didn't. So all you guys have got to do is hear the stories. So, off of the back of that, nobody's not looking like it's a slant on anybody. And I don't think Tundi doesn't give Joshua Boatse any props. It's because Tundi Ajayi is in the anti-yard business. So if you're working at McDonald's, right? You're working at McDonald's. If you're working at McDonald's, somebody comes into McDonald's, you're not going to tell them just how good the Burger King Whopper is. You're not. Right? Especially if you own the franchise on McDonald's, You definitely are not going to be boosting up anything on no king size Whopper Deluxe. You're not going to do it. So it's the same thing here. So if Burger King and McDonald's cannot do that and props each other, there shouldn't be no problem with Tunde Ajayi being totally focused on just his fighter. That's what I'm saying. Right. Stamford Cell, Raymond, are you forgetting that Tunde is AY's manager, AY's trainer and manager? What is he supposed to do? Yeah, very good question there. Very good question. Well, I'm just saying like this. True managers manage, right? And true trainers manage as well. What I have seen is that certain trainers can't even manage to get out of bed. So, I'm being real. We laugh before, I'm telling you the truth. But, you know how it goes.
Well, certain men are really in it because they love their fighter and they're investing in it. And what people don't understand is you're not getting paid on a weekly basis. So all your work you're putting in, like the real trainers have invested time and their own money and resources into their fighters, that's not going to come back to them, but because of their love and belief in the fighter. So they've invested, you know, real good trainers, they're rare. They've invested their life into this individual. And that's probably why I haven't, like, given a fighter everything yet, because unless I'm able to do that for the fighter, I don't want to shortchange someone. But I know I've got so much skills to pass on and give to a future champion, man. Some talented potential fighters out there.
Well, you know what? There's going to be someone around. You know what I mean? You're going to build someone, Mark. I mean, I don't know that in my head that you're going to build someone. Also, I want to touch on. What do you think of the antics and the showboating that was done by Ben Whitaker? You were there ringside with me. So what did you think of it?
Look, when I see those things, a lot of people get excitement. Yes, yeah, entertainment. And that's cool. Entertain. But just know it's at risk of your life. And if that's your style that you're going to continue with throughout the ranks, because that's at journeyman level. Okay. Let me see you doing that at British, European, Commonwealth, international, world-class level, because that won't cut it. Even Naz found that out, mate. Even Naz found that out once he faced Antonio Barrera and he was talking all the legend talk, all the stuff that he was getting away with all the other fighters. When he got to elite level, Antonio Barrera's elite level, it didn't pan out so well. And I love Naz. I love his boxing. I love his power, love his skills. And I don't think they should be talking about Naz and Ben Whitaker right now, because Naz paid his dues and Naz was serious about his flossing. So when he was entertaining, he put you to sleep at the end of it. And he'd done it as he went through the levels, right? Until he got to elite. But I just can't see a Ben Whitaker, and I could be wrong. I wish him all the best in his flossing. But for me, when we're dealing with a fight game that could put you in hospital, and you could be going the ring healthy and then come out of the ring on a stretcher.
I hear that. Alexander Wilson, thank you for the $10. With Bivol Batovia fighting for the Undisputed in June, and the winner may lose or drop a belt. Right, the winner may lose or drop a belt, and because it is hard to hold four belts at once, look at Crawford. Do you think that may change the plan? You've heard Turkey El Sheikh say that he wants the winner of Bivol and Batovia, the winner, to move up and fight Jai Opataya. That's what he said. So, if that's the case, then let's just roll with that, because I believe that once there was an undisputed champion, I believe that the titles will become fragmented. It happens in so many different weight classes. I think it become fragmented, and then we'll give an opportunity to one of these little young guys, these young guns, to come in and pick up a world title or fight for a world title. And that's what I think is going to happen.
And just finishing on the Ben Whittakers of the world that love to floss, don't take the piss out of Journeyman. You know, they're putting in some hard work to earn some little change and help you to build up your career. So if the guy don't belong on your platform, put him to sleep, get him out of there, give him an early night so you can go home. Don't be out there violating him, doing 360s and all of that. Just take care of business and go home.
I hear that, Mark. But
I know, bruv. There's B-side. I'm trying to entertain. I'm trying to create a brand. I'm trying to develop my name.
Bro.
It's just not my style.
I know. I hear that. But what I am saying is this. If you know anything about Ben Whittaker, you know what I mean? Multi-titled, multi-medaled for GB squad and for England. He won a silver medal in the Olympics. So when you're saying don't take the piss out of Germany, I get it. I totally get it. But that same man went 8 rounds with Dan Aziz. That same man's been over here and fought guys, and they haven't been able to stop him that early, get him out of there that early.
Okay.
So he's picked up medals, as Tubeless is saying. He's done his bit. And I think it's good because, as thank you, Jay Boateng, saying, well, that's why people are talking about him. I don't think if he wasn't doing that and was just going in there, pop, 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 would we be talking about him? I think he brings something different. I think he does respect the game. People talk like he doesn't. I think he does respect. You ever speak to the young man? You know what I mean? His persona. Yeah, he's a nice kid, man. His persona, what we get when he's fighting, compared to the youth who is a very humble and respectful guy, man. I just think that is just his persona that he moves into when the bell goes, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's levels that you can do all of that buffoonery with. I agree with you. But what I'm saying to you, I believe that as he moves up, he'll be able to do certain things, but he's got to be a lot more tighter. Because even in that fight, the supposed journeyman guy clapped him with a couple shots. But the thing that got the highlight rules, the thing that got him 100,000 new followers in a day, the thing that got 14 million views on TikTok was the bravado of the showboating. Yeah, thank you very much, Stamina for Sales. They managed to put up there. Jorge Paez is similar to Jorge Paez, and Paez never got away with that when he went to elite level. De La Hoya, Castillo, both knocking Paez out early. But, and I hear that, but Castillo and Oscar De La Hoya didn't fight him at his original weight. And at the time when he did get knocked out, he was past peak. Because if it's Manny that's putting this up here, I'm telling you now, Jorge Paez, yeah, was an excellent fighter. Defensively, it was an excellent fighter. Go watch his fight with Troy Dorsey. Jorge Paez could fight, man. WC featherweight champion of the world. Jorge Paez, he brought that height. See, Mark, I remember the times there. He brought that team. So we're talking like 1990, those times there. I don't think you was born them times there, Manny. You know what I mean? And them times they told you was playing football. So, right, no one can't come talk to me about them kind of things there. At the time when Jorge Paez was getting done over, it wasn't because of his showboating. It's because he just went up against good guys. He weren't even a showboating. He most probably lost against those guys even if he weren't showboating. But he lost to good guys, man. You know what I mean? Trust me. I would have loved to have seen Jorge Paez versus Kevin Kelly. That's the fight that I would love to have seen. Didn't happen though.
And don't get me wrong, I'm still rating what Ben's done because you need a certain kind of mindset to be able to show bravadry like that and just get out there and just...
Most definitely.
You need a certain kind of confidence about you. So don't get me... I respect all of that, bro. I love it because he's just confidently saying, look, bro, here's me. You know what I'm saying? Flash, moving, ducking, coming back, spinning around. So, you know, I'm not surprised that people are loving it because it actually brings more viewers onto boxing. And when push comes to shove, that's what boxing wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wants more people getting onto it. So, you know, I can't knock him. I'm just saying that's not my style. And sometimes I think about the journey, man, and think, bro, it's better you get put to sleep in a hot minute than you reel back a tape and you see a man violating you and taking a piss out of you and moving here and there. Yeah, so that's just my outlook on it.
Still think he's a good fighter. And
he's going to bring some good fights to the table, though, bro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what? It's going to be interesting to see how they maneuver it because talking of good fights, 31st of March, we have Fabio Woodley defending his British title against Fraser Clark.
Yeah.
How do you see that fight, Mark?
There's only one way I see that fight.
Go on.
And that's Ward taking out Fraser. It's too early for Fraser. I'm sorry, Fraser fans. It's too early for Fraser.
Mm.
A bit more time. Ward's a bit more seasoned. He really does. I watched both these fighters, and I know both these fighters, and I've spoken to them. And I totally understand where Fraser's at right now. And he's right in the spotlight, you know, being on Sky and, you know, he's feel like his career is ahead of itself. It's a bit like my organization. We're getting all this press, but we're not this organization with money, resources, building. We haven't got any of that, but all the press and all the spotlight on us make us look like we're already there. I think Fraser's in that situation. He's got everything around him. He's got the engine around him. He's got, you know, the publicity around him. And Ward's got a lot of experience and he's relaxed. I've seen how we fight. Look how we took on, what's
David Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide. Yeah, sorry, Adelaide, because I know him well as well. So, you know, look at the way he dealt with Adelaide, a man that was full of confidence, talking big talk. He's going to bust him up. And my man Ward just went in there and just took care of business neatly. Didn't even have a problem. Just stayed relaxed. Showed him who was more experienced. Took care of business. I love them fighters.
Yeah, but surely
again to Fraser.
Okay, but surely, Mark, surely,
yeah,
this must be something that bears like relevance to the fact, bro. Big up, Tony, pugilistic boy. Big Fraze is being fast-tracked because of his age. Right. His ceiling is not high. Okay. I'm saying this, yeah? Do you not think that it's because are we, like, looking past the fact that here was a man who was an Olympic bronze medalist? Here was a man that was a Commonwealth Games gold medalist. Here was a man that was an ABA champion.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are we not looking past that to say, like, and also, Fabio Woolley never had no amateurs, right? He's a supremely gifted human being, though, but he never had no amateur fights. And Frazier Clark is actually the underdog in this fight.
So we should. He's actually the people got sense. They know right? what they.
So because of that, people now looking at it saying, like, boy, what is it that you are actually going to bring to the table to be successful and to get victory? Now, if you were working with Frazier Clark, what are the things that you would be working on, Mark? Your great experience. What are the things that you would be working on to try and help Frazier to be successful? What are the things that you would be doing? I'd like to hear your opinion.
Okay. So Frazier's at the point in his career where they need to lock his style down. What is his defensive style? How does he attack? Is he a combination puncher? When should he be throwing bombs? Just the whole knowledge of the game, I don't think he fully has that understanding yet, because pros is different than all the stuff he's done before. That's why I could have 9 pro fights, which is a baby in the game, and come out and win two world titles, even though they're intercontinental, and beat good fighters throughout my 24-fight career. Because with one loss, because it's not that, it's how good you are as a student to the pro game. And there's a lot of work that I think Frazier needs. I think we rush fighters a bit too quick nowadays. Instead of schooling them, allowing them to go through their apprenticeship, that takes time. Sometimes it ain't even how I'm training you. It's giving you time to develop your skills and be confident and fight different styles of fighters. And Frazier has not had the kind of style of fighters he needs to be able to deal with a calm, slick Ward that's Wardy that's going to be putting punches together and putting him under pressure. He's going to be swinging. He's going to be missing like Adelaide. I think they're quite similar fights with Frazier just performing better than Adelaide. So it will be technically a better looking fight than Adelaide. I think Adelaide went on the back foot and done a lot of swinging. I think Frazier will definitely look better than Adelaide. But Wardley's experience and calmness and precision and his maturity in the game and what he's doing is going to override a Frazier.
Okay. Manny's just said like you, man. No, not me, man. Mark doesn't rate Frazier. And he's saying, like, he maybe believes that. Tundi's saying that he thinks there could be an upset here. What's your thoughts on that? You think that could be an upset in this one, Mark?
The upset meaning phrase is going to be Wardley.
Yeah.
Look, you could have an upset in any fight. And I didn't say I didn't rate Frazier. I simply spoke about where he is in his career and his development. And I thought that Wardley was fights a bit too early. Maybe 3 fights too early. And maybe after another 3 fights, it's hard for people to understand that. My trainer said it to me. I was about 3-4 fights too early for our world title fight. And he was right in the end. With experience, I understood that, but I didn't get it at first. I just think that's what Frazier is. It's not that I don't rate Frazier. I love the guy. I know the guy. I like him. I want him to do well in boxing, and he's got some good skill set. I just think right now, Wardley's is more matured, honed and settled than Frazier's. And I think that will tip him over the edge as they go through the process of the fight and start testing each other out. Boxing's more than just throwing some hands. It's what's going on in the mind as things happen in the fight.
So, what you're saying is what?
I'm all the way Wardley, and I don't think there'll be an upset. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I just don't think there'll be an upset. I don't think Frazier's going to do it.
Okay. That's your opinion. I think it's going to be good.
I won't put my house on it. I'll put a plate of food on it, though.
Okay. No jollof rice, no?
No, it's some fried dumpling.
Yeah. Tony, PG Visit Boy say, yeah, very good breakdown from Dr. Mark Prince. Snaps is on here saying, I just missed that one because it's jumping up and down. Arise Champion is saying, some people are born champions, bro, blessed and unstoppable. You know what? I'm hearing that. And it was like, I was ringside for when Wardley, Fabio Wardley, beat David Adderley. And while I was there, Frazier Clark was there. And Frazier Clark was like, Frazier Clark was like, you know what? There's no way he can fight me. There's no way he can fight me. That's like, now maybe he was doing that to kind of gear up himself. I thought that was a very impressive performance by Fabio.
Thank you.
You know, I thought it was. But it was a great feeling out process. But the thing about it is this, is like, when they started off, he was doing it from the elongated jab, the pouring jab, yeah? But he was doing it to try and set him to come up with a right hand and a left hook or to throw back a hard jab. And once he was doing that and using that as the measuring, yeah?
Yeah.
It was like, I'm confident now. I'm going to let my hands go. But in the beginning, both men were absolutely wary of each other, right? So I could see why Frazier was thinking, oh, you can't fight me, right? But if Frazier cannot administer his will, and he's going to have to do it early as well, right? Because Fabio Wood is a fit guy, and one thing about Fabio, he likes putting punches in combinations from like after like round two, three. That's when his hands, like he fills you out first round, fills you out, second round, fills you out. Three or four, he starts to let his hands go.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Frazier has a kind of, that kind of methodical way of fighting. Like he's watching Riddick Bowe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know where Riddick Bowe would come and like, but Riddick Bowe knew, like he was Big Daddy Bowe. Riddick Bowe knew like, right, if I clap you, you're going to know that you're being clapped. There's a difference. I think it's the one that goes out and administers, sticks their will. Then we'll see what's going on. It's going to be an interesting fight. Godfather of boxing. I think it's a 50-50. Frazier is a big unit, and I know he doesn't have the amateur career. Frazier's a big unit, and I know he does. You mean like Woolley doesn't have it? Doesn't have the amateur career. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Fabio is a bit overrated. I can't say that Fabio's overrated. I'm going to be real with you. I can't. Be lying to you. If I'm sitting there saying, yeah, Fabio is an overrated fighter, I'm not being honest.
He's worked his way for that position.
Yeah.
He's not overrated. You know, if anything, you could accuse Frazier of that because of his past in the Olympics and whatever, and he hasn't realized his dreams yet, but they're tipping him to do big things. So if anything, you could say Frazier might be overrated, but you can't say Wardley. Because Wardley's just coming up and built himself up as a fighter without any amateur experience.
Yeah, Wardley's done his bits. So, yeah. And after that, we can't knock him. We can't.
No.
I believe Dewey Cooper's now being driven back to his hotel. After they've gone out for a camp dinner. So we're just going to hold tight a little bit more, just waiting for the double blue ticks to come on. We're going to wait on a little bit more for this brother here. It's been blessed that we've been joined by Mark Prince.
Yeah, loving it.
You know what I mean? It's been blessed that we've been joined by Mark Prince. But we're not out yet because there's still more to talk about. This Ngannou versus Joshua fight, right? What's your take on that one, Mark? How do you think that one's going to go?
Ngannou is such a strong brother and he's such a nice guy. I think he's going to cause AJ one or two puzzles that he's going to have to sort out and fix.
Now, what kind of puzzles?
Power and strength being one of them. I think when you get hit by someone like Ngannou, stuff goes on in your head. And Joshua's head hasn't been the most stable at, in the last how many fights. As much as we're happy that he seems to be picking himself up a bit, we all know he's not 100% and back to his normal self, right? But he's shown signs two other last fights that he's coming into his own. But Ngannou kind of power ain't nothing like the last two guys he's fought. And that's going to really start having him asking questions when he's feeling them touches going on in his head and in his body. So for me, I think that the fight is based on how AJ processes feeling the licks that Ngannou is going to be dishing out, because he will. And we can only see that by how the fight plays out. But in terms of skill-wise and boxing, I see AJ with an advantage, combination punching, boxing, obviously his experience in the game as well. But as I said, that won't count for much when you hold the licks. And then Ngannou's going to hit him.
So yeah, that, but
I'm going to go into this fight with that big question. I'm just waiting like this. Like, okay, when I'm going to lick you, how's this going to work? And if I see the way he reacts, then I'm expecting AJ to start taking over the fight. But this fight ain't getting no 12 rounds.
So, you don't think it's going 12 rounds. So, do you think AJ can stop Francis Ngannou?
I think AJ can stop any heavyweight out there. But will he stop Ngannou?
So what do you think could be the thing that could stop AJ from getting a stoppage win against Francis Ngannou?
His mind, like purely his mind not going into that fight. Like, I'm the big dog here. Me, Bunyu and Ngannou, I'm the big dog. Let me come here, show you what happens when you come in on my field, when you come in on my sport. Yours is UFC. This is boxing. I'm going to show you set, defensive. If you don't come in, like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to sit in the pocket and show you how your power don't mean nothing. Wow, wow, wow. And he starts putting some work in on him. That mindset, that's how I'll be training AJ for this. You got to mess with Ngannou's head, bro. Don't be running around like on the Ruiz 2 fight. Oh, I'm going to box you. And nah, bro. They ain't going to work. Because Ngannou's going to take over. And he's going to hurt you and drop you if that's what happens. Stop the foolishness.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the first time that Anthony Joshua's actually got into the fight, yeah? Of a big level fight, yeah? A big fight. Big level fight. Money fight. With the man with a great experience. Surely that must play a major factor in this fight. Surely.
What, the fact that he's going in
with more experience?
With AJ, you mean?
That AJ going into the fight with more experience than Francis Ngannou. Francis Ngannou won professional fight. He's going in with more experience
I'll be honest, as I said, he has to go in with that, but will he? And I don't think he's going to make that count for anything, because Ngannou's already showed everyone, I don't care about that. I'll tear that script up, throw it away, because he saw how I put Fury on his ass. So, mind your business.
Mm.
He's got that mindset. So, I think that's thrown that out of the window. He may, in his head, think, I'm going to use that card. But when he does, and he thinks about what Ngannou done with Fury, and in his head, he's thinking, wow, I don't care what AJ might say in public, he knows how good Fury is. So to put Fury on his ass, that's played on his mind. Because he probably might not even think he could put Fury
on. Wait a minute. Hold tight. We've got the main man. Look, I just sent him a message. Just jumped on. Wicked. Coach Dewey Cooper. You know what I mean? So it's the fight is right. We have Mark Prince, OBE, Dr. Mark Prince, former professional fighter, the former world title challenger, and he's doing fantastic charity work in the UK. He's got a fantastic story. Coach Cooper, his son was unfortunately a victim of knife crime, and he's meticulously and studiously kept on working to get kids off of the streets and stuff like that. So Mark's got a great story, but I'm just glad that, and you're very precise, because you said around, because it's 12 o'clock your time now, so you just jumped on. So a pleasure to have you, Coach Cooper. How you doing?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. You know, we scheduled this last minute, so I didn't know I had stuff to do tonight. But, yeah, okay. It's an honor to be here with your brother, and thanks for having me.
Yo, Dewey, a lot of people don't know, sir. Like, they just think you're a coach. They don't realize, 'cause I was telling the fans earlier who's on the show, how much of a badass kickboxer you were. And yes, sir. You jump on, and what do you do? Tail end, you jump into professional boxing. Where you go? Was it 25-0? 25-3, sorry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 25-3, right.
And I fought professional MMA as well at the end of my career, because everyone was daring me to jump in the cage. I'm like, man, I'm from the hood, man. I've been fighting my whole life. I'll fight any style as far as profession, street, gun, knife, whatever you want to do, I'm with it. So, yeah, man, martial arts has taken me around the world. It's an honor to still be a part of it and to be a part of these mega events that's going on right now, man. I'm truly blessed.
Yeah, you certainly are, because, dude, when we're looking at this fight game, yeah?
And, yes, sir.
And Francis Ngannou's story is absolutely incredible. It's an incredible story. Right?
Yes.
It is, you know, there's gonna be a movie. When it's all said and done, you know there's gonna be a movie, yeah?
Yeah, it should be. Hopefully Eldris, whatever his name is, you know, our brother, Eldris. Hopefully he'll do it. But yeah, man, Francis Ngannou has lived a fantastic story. It's like folklore. It's so unbelievable. And I've been with him since late 2016 when he first came to America. It's been a crazy ride. It's been a ride of triumph and scrutiny from the fans, alienation from the fans, and now we're getting congratulations from the fans. So it's just great to see that tidal wave crash and come back once again. And we're going to crash March 8th here in Saudi Arabia. We're already here in Riyadh. Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou, Clash of the Titans is going down, man. I can't wait to see Francis' hand get raised after that fight on the 8th.
Okay, you're saying that Francis' hand is going to be raised, yeah? And
yes, sir.
Mark Prince was just saying, just before you jumped on, Mark said he was questioning about AJ's mind and also about the punching power of Francis Ngannou. Now, you have trained MMA, you've trained kickboxing, you've trained boxing. Have you ever been around somebody that hits as hard as Francis Ngannou?
I fought this 283-pound Samoan by the name of Mighty Mo in the K-1. He was the hardest puncher that I ever felt in a fight. Mighty Mo was punching harder than anyone in the world, I'd say. Until, of course, I met that man, the Predator, Francis Ngannou. Francis punches extremely hard. Guys, I'm also Carlos Takam's coach. Carlos hits very hard as well. So I've been hit by some hard hitters. And Francis definitely is the hardest puncher. His punch is just heavy. And it's even when it's not thrown technically correct, he still has power. All that digging dirt as a kid, all the way through his adulthood, he mutated just to a powerful man. And that's all it is. It's natural power. It's not forced power. And that's what people don't understand. He can hit you with any punch and hurt you with any punch, either hand. It's a real natural power.
Yeah. So I'm saying to you, like, what was the link up? Because, like, people talking about Mike Tyson being involved, Mike Tyson's training on. No disrespect to Mike Tyson. I know he must have come up with a little bit of pointers, but I'm saying, no, you are the guy that has trained Francis Ngannou for, like, nearly like half a decade now, right?
Yes,
you're the
guy
that's grafting and all the rest of it. Down to the game plan of Tyson Fury, right? What was so incremental him putting in that performance? Because regardless of whatever happened, that was like a Rocky move. That was the first Rocky. That was, let me, kind of like an exhibition. People were laughing about the fight. It ain't going to happen. And then France goes in and puts in that tumultuous performance. How did that make you feel?
Well, thing is, guys, people always put their handicaps and their weaknesses on other people. Just because they couldn't do it or he couldn't do it doesn't mean Francis couldn't do it. I know we went against mountainous odds being your first fight, fighting against the lineal champ in his prime, undefeated, all that stuff. People grossly underestimated that Francis was also a world champion. The challenges Francis went through in his life to even become an MMA fighter and then become UFC champion were tremendous, were against tremendous odds. So we heard that, we heard all the boxing experts, all the chatter, people saying we had no shot. My own friend, Bernard Hopkins, but Bernard said on Joe Rogan, Francis has no shot. Zero. Abel Sanchez, coaches like this, said zero. I was really disappointed that people didn't give him an ounce of a chance. But if you know Francis, you know his story. He's been through this his entire life. Guys, don't underestimate a person's mentality and the life he's been through. For a man to go through what he's done and to be a champion in any league is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. He got 16 weeks to prepare for a boxing fight. Guys, he's been doing boxing. Remember, I'm his MMA striking coach, right? I'm also a world championship winning boxing coach, 10 world titles. I trained Jesse Vargas when he won the WBO welterweight belt. We knocked out Saddam Ali. We fought Manny Pacquiao and lost the majority of the decision. I trained Babu Shumanov to three title defenses at light heavyweight before we lost to Benora Hopkins. Guys, I trained Jessica Rakosa. We unified the lightweight division. She was one of the best female fighters ever at 135. I've had real boxing champions. I've been main event on Showtime, After Dark, or HBO After Dark and Showtime. We've been in the big fights. And so Francis has been boxing twice a week since 2017. However, we were doing MMA. We couldn't just focus straight on boxing. We had to kick and stop the takedowns and all of this. We had 16 weeks to do boxing every day. Guys, he grew so much in the first 4 weeks. You know, think about it. This whole career. He's been boxing twice a week max. Now all of a sudden you box 6 days a week. It makes a big difference. So we turned that curve that people thought was going to be so vast between Tyson Fury and himself. And 16 weeks of training boxing, Francis been a fighter. He'd been a champion. He'd been had that strong mental fortitude. And now he had the real boxing training to go with it every day. I knew he could compete against anybody in the world. So we weren't surprised. We told the whole world. Look at the interviews. We told the whole world. Way before the fight. And Mike Tyson coming in showing Francis support was a great boost. Mike promised Francis 4 years ago, if he ever did boxing, he would be there for him. He wasn't there every day. He came through a few times and trained Francis and gave us good insight. Me and Mike been friends since the 90s. Mike Tyson came to my fights. So it wasn't anything alienated. It was a great thing, him being there. And most importantly, he believed in Francis. That gave Francis extra belief in himself. So what you guys seen against Tyson Fury was a combination of many things. Mainly, the boxing world underestimating the heart, the mental dexterity, and the big balls of a real champion. And I think this time, they won't make that mistake again.
Okay. So what's going to be different with Francis in this fight? I'm not asking you to tell your game plan. But what I do want to know, and I think the listeners of the fight is right, and only the fighters right do this, you know. We got Dewey Fisher Light, Dewey Cooper Light. Why would we do? You know what? Dewey sounds like Dewey. That's why you said Burn the
Yeah, Hulk. Yeah, and I can tell you, I hated my name as a kid. That's why I became a fighter. I got in so many street fights about my damn name. My dad named me after his dad, so I'm named after my grandfather. I told my dad, when I turn 18, I'm changing my name. And you know how black men are, whether you're British or American, it's the same. My dad told me, he said he would disown me if I were disrespecting him and change my name. So I was stuck with the name Dewey for the rest of my life.
Our producer just said that you've already sold the fight even more now by coming on the show.
I can tell you the difference. Just like, and all you guys know, you boxers are very astute. You know, the difference is experience. Remember, he had no boxing fights before Tyson Fury. He fought the most complex puzzle to solve in the heavyweight division, a highly dimensional world champion boxer like Tyson Fury. If you guys don't think those 10 rounds are going to be very valuable as far as a learning tool and something to catapult his IQ and make him a better fighter, you're freaking insane. Just doing 10 rounds with Tyson Fury will give him years of experience in boxing. And that's what we're expecting this time. We all know Anthony Joshua. I've been watching Anthony Joshua since he was a damn Olympian, man. You know, I got love and respect for Anthony. You know, I remember if you go to the Mayweather channel, the Mayweather YouTube channel, I'm on there a lot doing predictions and stuff. I was saying Anthony Joshua was the best heavyweight way back then before the Ruiz fight. You know what I mean? I was saying I thought Anthony Joshua would beat Wilder and Fury way back then. And then he got a few losses and people lost faith in him. We know what Anthony Joshua does. We know how talented he is, but he's very conventional. He's very orthodox. He's a very basic, sharp boxer with a lot of power and a great skill set. But after that complex puzzle I felt we solved in the first fight, Francis Ngannou will be double the fighter he was against Tyson Fury, and that spells trouble for Anthony Joshua.
Okay. Okay. So I'm saying this is what I'm saying. Now, Mike, look at that. Prince is hype now. I'm saying this.
I'm not trying to sell the fight. I'm being a real brother. You know, brother on brother, I'm just keeping it real and telling you exactly how I feel.
You're keeping it 100 and I'm loving it.
Hey, I must admit, I envy you guys. All you black men, African descent with the British accents, that's the coolest shit in the world, man. That's the coolest shit in the world. I always loved Lennox Lewis. Lennox was my favorite heavyweight, even though Mike Tyson was my friend. I love Lennox. But the black British accent is the most awesome accent in the fucking world, man.
Thank you very much, my friend. It is a privilege. But you know what? This what I want to know is this, right? From fighting Tyson Fury, now you're up against Anthony Joshua. The styles are totally different. Do you think that Anthony Joshua's style will be more suited for Francis Ngannou than somebody like Tyson Fury? Do you think that style is going to be suited?
I'm going to be 100% real with you and say 100% absolutely. It's definitely more suitable for Francis Ngannou. However, it's more dangerous also. It could be feast or famine. It's more suitable because he stays there a little bit. He gets on the move, but he doesn't have the movement of Tyson Fury and the swagger of Tyson Fury. So on paper, 100%. In reality, 100%. But I will admit there's more danger with Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a multiple puncher who breaks you down with combinations and output. Joshua can put your lights out with a shot. So, you know, it's definitely a more dangerous fight to me, but it's definitely a more suitable fight. He will be easier to hit than Tyson Fury was. And if Francis Ngannou can hit you, I put my money on Francis Ngannou in that case.
Would you be able to let us know if you've been working on Ngannou's defense for this fight?
Man, we've been working on everything. All I can tell you is this. If I'm saying I feel like this is a more dangerous fight, you already know the answer to that. We've been working on everything. And guys, this is only Francis Ngannou's second fight. So he's improving in every aspect for sure. He's definitely improving in every aspect.
Well, what's his mentality like? Is he enjoying this?
Yeah, he's enjoying it because this cat, we had less time than the Tyson Fury fight. Because right after Deontay Wilder lost to Joseph Parker, Francis put that call in. So he talked right after the fight. Hey, who's Joshua going to fight? I want that work. So he put the call in. And so the fight was agreed upon only like 8.5 weeks out from the fight. So we had to go right into camp. Mind you, we had 16 weeks for Tyson Fury. We basically had 8.5, 9 weeks for Anthony Joshua.
Beautiful. Okay. Tell me one thing, yeah?
Yes, Ben Oldham, sorry.
Dewey. Are you a trainer?
One second.
Go on,
Dewey, please big up this guy, Ben Oldham. He's one of the biggest supporters. Ben Oldham, give him a shout out. He's one of the biggest supporters of our show.
Hey, Ben Olden, big ups to you. Thank you for the support of the great sport of boxing and especially his show. And you repping the brothers. We got to respect that. Number love, Ben Olden. Thank you.
Easy.
Oh, Mark. Mark.
So what I wanted to ask was, you as a trainer, who would you, if you had the pick, if they said, who would you want, Wilder or AJ? Who would you have picked for your fighter out of those two?
Good question.
It is so funny you asked that. Mayweather Channel asked me that maybe 2 months ago, right to the Fury fight, and actually said AJ. And they reminded me that only a few weeks ago. I actually predicted this fight right after the Tyson Fury fight, and I totally forgot I said that. And the reason why I said that is because I felt like, first of all, you got two titans in there, big old buff guys, both African descent, both big, strong, and athletic. I thought aesthetically that fight would be very pleasing. And I want to see what power, whose power would end up being the deciding factor. So I would choose Anthony Joshua in that case, and I did choose Anthony Joshua. That was before I seen Deontay Wilder fight against Joseph Parker. I would have chosen Deontay Wilder after that fight. Because we're trying to win, man.
Straight, bro. Straight. It's like, what?
After the Joseph Parker fight, I'd say Deontay Wilder all day. After Joseph Parker, I'd say Deontay Wilder fight all day.
Hey, bro. He's sitting target now, Wilder.
What one is this? Yeah, because like you just come, you've been on some different energy, just brought it to another level, and I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you coming on because I know you're in camp and everything else, and it was mad because I just sent you a message saying you could come in. You said, yeah, you're here, and it's like I respect that so much, man. You're a real
number love. Remember, man, I could be a billionaire. I'm a real brother. I'm not some fake ass. Switch up because the lights are shining bright, brother. You can look on interviews for me 20 years ago. It's the same thing. And when you show me respect, I show you respect. So I got double love and respect for you, my brother. Anytime you want to rock out, I'm always down. I could be a billionaire. I'd still be doing the same thing. I'd be doing my martial arts. I'll be training my fighters. And I'd be hanging out with my daughter and my lady, Katrina. That's it, man. My life is simple, man. Yeah, I've been around the world and had the applause and been booed and been loved and been hated. All I give a fuck about is my family, my fighters, and my friends. Nothing else. Okay.
Beautiful. That's
And the fans that support, I'll put that extra F for the fans. But it's family, fighters, friends. Family, fighters, and friends.
The three F's.
That's right. And the fans, if they're supportive, but too many times in my life, they've been too fickle. So if you got love, I got love. But too many times, you guys seen them cheer you 1 second and boo you the next. So it's family, fighters, and friends.
Yeah. But your energy and then Garner's energy aligned so beautifully. Because people pick up and Garner's energy is pure. He's had so much support after this Fury fight. We love him over here. And then now you and your energy, Dewey, is beautiful.
Yes, sir.
It's connected. And I'm not surprised, bro, that you're just going to take over heavyweight boxing, King.
Let me tell you guys something real fast. Preston Gunn is a sweetheart of a guy. He's a very nice guy. He's a fair guy too. That's one thing about him. He's a giant. He's powerful and all of that. But he's a real cool guy. He's definitely not American. If he was American with the God-given attributes he has, who knows who he'd be like. But he's a real peaceful soul. He's just blessed with this ungodly power. But he's a fair guy. He's a very astute, smart guy. And he's very calm. He ain't some kind of crazy, deranged, lunatic type of guy, man. He'll definitely end up being the president of Cameroon because he's such a intelligent, sharp individual, man. I'm not just saying that because I'm his trainer. We talk about many things. He's a deep dude, a very smart dude too, man. So he just ain't some athlete that don't have a level of intelligence, man. He's a very astute guy, and he's gonna do wonderful things beyond the fighting world. He's already doing so much for the kids in Africa right now. With his philanthropic work and donating money all over the place, he's a great guy, man. He's a real, real good man.
Come on, big up.
Yeah, you know, this is what I want to know. Also, Dewey, like, I know you're training. I'm not asking you to give out no secrets. What I want to know is, why are you and your team and Francis Ngannou going to come out victorious against Anthony Joshua?
I can tell you why, because every now and then an enigma happens, a phenomenon happens, and we can't explain it. It's crazy for a man to have no fights, fight the undefeated champion. It's crazy for a guy to have his second fight with a record of 0-1, fighting one of the top three heavyweight boxers of this generation. It's crazy, but sometimes things don't make sense. It's crazy for us to even be talking about Francis Ngannou, man. He should be somewhere in Cameroon, just working hard, trying to survive for his family and himself. He traveled on foot out of Cameroon, guys. Went through all kind of countries in Africa. Got thrown in the desert to die of starvation and dehydration 6 different times before he made it to France. He was homeless in France for a year and a half, sleeping in a park. It wasn't a convenient thing like us getting on the internet, contacting some coach in France and said, hey, I'm coming out there to train. He just went to a place and didn't know where he was going to go. To step off the cliff of life, to take a chance on yourself like that is special. And not only is it special, when you triumph the way he did, the way he was treated in UFC, we lost the belt. We lost our first championship fight. I was part of that team. We lost to Stipe Miocic the first time. He was the flavor of the UFC till we lost, and everybody started saying bad things. He loses another fight. Everyone writes him off. Then he goes to the fight win streak, rips everyone hell from the UFC, has a rematch with Stipe Miocic, knocks him out in the second round. Easy work, becomes UFC champion. And then 3 weeks before his first title defense against a familiar foe, his original team that took him in as a homeless person and got him doing MMA, his original coach in the adversarial corner against us, against the guy he sparred with when he was coming up, the guy who was supposed to be the perfect heavyweight to beat Francis and take the belt from him, Francis destroys his knee 3 weeks before the fight. Me, Coach Eric, his manager, Markel, everyone tells Francis, pull out of the fight. You're fighting the most mobile, skilled heavyweight in UFC. You can't even move. You can't walk. Francis trained on one leg for 3 weeks, fought a real gun, and beat him on one leg. You know, beat his old coach, beat his old sparring partner on one leg, guys. The saying was Francis has no cardio. He went 5 rounds, 25 minutes on one leg, and beat the perfect nemesis style that was supposed to dethrone him. And then UFC, you know, bad things happen. The business don't go right. We sit out for 2 years. And a lot of people don't understand. Francis hadn't fought in 2 years, coming off major knee surgeries when he fought Tyson Fury. Hey, everyone said Tyson Fury hasn't fought in 11 months. We had not fought in 24 months after knee surgery. And you see what happened in the first fight. Every now and then, guys, a storm happens. It can't be explained. It's just prophecy. It's meant to happen. And we feel him defeating Anthony Joshua was part of his prophecy. We don't know how far Francis can go. But Francis feels like he can end up being the king of the heavyweight boxing scene and end up being the true baddest man on the planet. And so can Anthony Joshua stop him? We'll find out March 8th. But as far as we're concerned, we already won. Francis Ngannou will win this fight no matter what it takes. March 28th, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And I can't wait to see him get his hand raised and the whole boxing world say, damn, man, how can we explain this? Certain things in life can't be explained. And Francis Ngannou, I feel, is that type of enigma.
You know what? Tunde Ajayi, who's my partner on the show, he's a trainer and manager of Anti Yard, the phenomenal light heavyweight contender.
Yes.
And Tunde has been saying for ages, you know who Tunde is.
I got a problem with him. This is the guy who claims he doesn't spar. I mean,
nah, man. It's a lie.
All these guys, I don't know Anthony, big shots to him, real talented fighter. If he doesn't spar, he's incredible. But too many times, all these new fighters, all these new guys are trying to step away from the basics. If Muhammad Ali did it, if Sugar Ray Robinson did it, if Sugar Ray Leonard did it, if Duran, Hagler,
Floyd.
On Sanchez, whoever the fuck you like did it. You need to be doing it, man. Stop trying to be different. You know what I mean?
Trust me, if
he's truly not sparring and winning championship fights, he's also an enigma, but I'm not buying that, man.
It was just a joke out there. And you know how powerful it is. It's like, I know you follow the game because Tundi put that out there. He's training. Tundi is the actual, me and Tundi run the show.
Okay.
Not working business right now, but Tundi was saying, like, for a long time, like, Francis is going to be a problem from a long time. When it was announced for Francis Ngannou to fight Tyson Fury, Tundi said, I don't like this fight, you know, for Fury, right? And we're British. I don't like this fight, right? He's been on it from day dot. There's something about Francis Ngannou. But what I can only testify by my own beings. Because, you know, like, after you had the fight, I came in the change room, we had a really good chat with Francis. Yes. I've never seen a more philosophically polite person.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, they're going to give it to me because they're waiting for this big fight. But I'm going to come again. It was just cool. You were livid in the change room, but he was like, you know, it's cool. Don't worry. We're cool. We're winning. And I think his story to the fact of him leaving the UFC, they're talking like, he didn't even touch $1 million in the UFC. For him to come out now and getting the proper attention, the eyeballs, he's actually loved by the kingdom as well. Where you're out in Saudi Arabia. Like, how important is that for you guys, like, being out in Saudi? And how have you found the reception that you have received out in Saudi Arabia from His Excellency Turki Al-Sheikh and the royal family? How have you found it?
I mean, let me tell you something. Your Excellency, Turki Al-Sheikh, is the treatment they give is, I can't even imagine it. It's beyond VIP. It's beyond special. It's beyond royal, man. We've been getting taken care of out here from the first Tyson Fury fight. When everyone thought we were going to get dusted off the three rounds, we still got taken care of exponentially well. Mm-hmm. So since we got there early October, the first time we're here for the beginning of the season, they took royal care of us, and it's still the same thing, man. Right now, I can show you my place. I'm in a villa with my own swimming pool and three bedroom place by myself. You know, we're all in big ass villas with private pools.
Give me one of the rooms. I'm coming out for this fight. You know that I'm coming out.
Yeah, I got you if you need one for sure. I mean, we got drivers, we have escorts everywhere. It's over the top. It's beyond elegant. It's beyond VIP. You would think we're royal family members ourselves. They have rolled out the red carpet, and it's been nothing but love. So, I mean, first of all, just for me, I've been a part of, like I said, a Pacquiao fight. I was with the money team, so I went to Floyd's big fights in Vegas, and there was nothing bigger than a Floyd Mayweather fight. I can tell you that right now. That Battle of the Baddest, you were there. Nothing like that. I mean, these shows are bigger than the Super Bowl, man. They aren't even shows. They're extravaganzas. And so the royal family and Turki Al-Sheikh, man, their entertainment is second to none. And I can just tell you all day that I'll never forget these experiences. Just being a part of these moments are truly life-changing, and I'll never forget these memories, man. Walking that stage when God's plan came out for Francis to fight against Tyson Fury, and then the elevated ring and all of these things and the flags waving, the sound system was crystal clear. It was just a dream, man. I mean, we couldn't even dream up something so great. So I'm not even exaggerating or overbloviating this. Turki Al-Sheikh is doing it higher than any level ever. This is the highest level you'll see of entertainment. You can't get any better. So we're more than excited about March 8th. And we're 2 weeks and 5 days away. We coming.
You know what? About 2 weeks ago, I had Alistair Overeem on the show, right?
Yes. Yes. I was in Francis' corner when he fought Overeem. I knew that shot was going to happen. Francis, in that training camp, was knocking literally everybody out. We ran out of sparring partners for that camp. It was scary. Francis was knocking everyone out. So what you seen with Overeem, I seen that at least 3-4 times during that camp. Francis was murdering people. It got so bad around the sparring partners, man. Wow. So what you seen with Overeem, we knew that was going to happen, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, because what we had, so he was saying to me that Francis hit so hard, he said he didn't even feel the punch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't feel it. Because, you know, I fair play to him, because I'm coming out to the fight with Alistair. Alistair's like, so yeah, we're like, so, like, close to Spencer Brown as well. Yeah, we're coming out to the fight, because he said, yeah, I've got to see this fight. And this is where you know how it's so, like, because Francis is such a cool guy as well. Alistair's a really lovely man. I'm going to be real.
I met Alistair several times. Alistair, he's awesome. I had dinner with Alex in Malibu back in the days when I was signing my new deal with K1. Alex Overeem was there. We all had dinner on Malibu Beach in California. So yeah,
wow.
Overeem, none but love and respect for Overeem, man.
Yeah, good guy.
It was bittersweet to me when we were facing him because I'm a K1 guy. Alex is one of the greatest K1 fighters
of all time.
You know, yeah. So yeah, I'm a kickboxer originally, so you know I got love and respect for Alistair. Mm-hmm. All the shit he did in kickboxing. It was crazy to be training Francis for that fight, and then the outcome was crazy because I know how talented and how great of a fighter Alistair is. And so for Francis to do that, I knew then he would be champion. I said he will be heavyweight champion. I predicted it way back then. And so we did that, and now we're about to do something special in boxing. And by the way, I have a bone to pick with a lot of the boxing specialists or enthusiasts, whatever you want to call them. Guys, we didn't intimidate or kidnap someone's child or anything to make someone like Marcelo Suleiman rank Francis Ngannou was in the top 10. He felt his spirit, and he felt compelled by what he seen Francis do against Tyson Fury to rate him. I was in the ring. I got it on this phone I'm talking to you on right now on Zoom. I'm the only one with the real video on Marcelo Suleiman telling Francis, I'm going to rate you in the top 10 because you're better than some of the boxers in the top 10 of the WBC. And I got that in his phone right now. It was a special moment. So we already knew Francis was going to get rated in the top 10 much before he was actually rated in the top 10. Suleiman told him that right there in the ring, right after the decision was read to that fight. So it was just whatever he saw that night, he felt compelled to do that to Francis. Everyone said, oh, there's no way Francis should be rated in the top 10.
Of course, 1,000,000% Francis Ngannou after the performance that he put against Tyson Fury should be rated in the top 10.
Yes, I'm just saying a lot of people didn't feel that way in boxing. I've seen the videos. My point is, anything we get in life, any position you're in, me in, he's in, you deserve it, man. No one gives anything for charity. No one gives anything for free. You know what I mean? So I just want to say it to the boxing world. You can't say he doesn't deserve something when the president sat ringside, who was pro Tyson Fury, for him to feel compelled to make a decision like that right there after the fight. There was something that Francis influenced him to doing. It wasn't politics. It was just his heart feeling like that was the right thing to do.
If you went 50-50 with the best heavyweight in the world, where else can you rate him? He has to be. It's self-evident based truth. The truth, everybody saw it. There's nowhere else you could rate him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just want to get that out because we did a lot of interviews and I haven't been able to really talk on that. And then I've seen a lot of people saying no. Or I even seen people saying I even seen boxing specialists say that this Tyson Fury, I'm sorry, that Anthony Joshua Francis Ngannou fight shouldn't be happening. And that Anthony Joshua's crazy for fighting him. That's insane to me. I mean, the fight definitely should be happening.
Who else is Anthony Joshua meant to fight?
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes, because no, he's already beat Joseph Parker. You know, it would be Joseph Parker, but he's already beat Joseph Parker. So, yeah, Frankston had the right idea by stepping up and wanting this matchup. And it should definitely happen, man. And we're excited about it. And we're less than 3 weeks away.
Listen, I'm going to say this now in closing. It's been an incredible honor. You blessed the fighters, right? You came through because time was ticking out. I don't know how to get the camp. I know you was out with the camp.
Yeah.
And you showed the same level of respect that you showed me when we were in Saudi Arabia. I can't wait. You know what I mean? I'm going to send you a message later on. I can't wait to get you back on the show. I'm going to see you when I'm in Saudi.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Sir. To honor to have the former kickboxing superstar, the man who came from K1, the man that turned professional, and the man that is training champions, Mr. Dewey, Mr. Cooper. We're hanging with Mr. Cooper. I used to love that show, right?
One last little thing, because we're on the topic of boxing. In case you guys don't know, I'm the president of a company in our second season called Team Combat League. If you guys don't know about Team Combat League, you need to be aware of Team Combat League. It's boxing teams, professional boxing teams, fighting one-round fights. It'll be London versus Vegas in a 24-round matchup, one round each fighter, and the scores tally the team at the 24 rounds with the most points win. Go to TeamCombatLeague.com or Team Combat League YouTube channel. Check out this new sport. It's an addition to the great sport of boxing that we love, but it's a new exciting format that you guys will love. Team Combat League Season 2 starts March 28th. Guys, I'm blessed to have great fighters like Francis Ngannou, and I'm blessed to be the president of this new multi-million-dollar boxing company called Team Combat League. If you don't know about it, you need to get acclimated to it. Get familiar with it. We're probably going to have the finals this year in the UK, in London. So, Team Combat League, check us out, guys. You're going to love it. Thank you for having me.
If that's the case, you know I'm the guy that hooks up the sponsorships. Don't worry about that. There's some money to be made. I'm glad that you joined us. Thank you so much, Mr. Cooper. Big up yourself.
Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Love.
That was Mr. Cooper. You came and showed us some crazy love. Mark Prince, it's a fitting way to end the show. The brother came on and spoke for 40 minutes, and we didn't get a word in edgeways. He gave us what we wanted. Only the fight is right can do this. The powers that are with us. Every single person that's been on it, every single person that's donated in the Snapchat money, every person, big up my brother from another mother, Mr. Dr. Mark Prince,
OBE to the people.
Right? OBE. Remember, we're going to chop down the other bits of the show. Mark Prince, thank you for joining us. Everybody, a fantastic week. Snap, you know my black book's ridiculous. You know how it goes, right? Godfather of Boxing, it's a great show, Spencer. We'll catch, put that one up there, Manny. Great show, Spencer. We'll catch you next live. Salute to Mark and Dewey. It's a pleasure listening to expect and peace out. Yeah, big up. Snaps, you're done. No, everyone has been on their country done yet again. Fantastic birthday party we had for yesterday. Amazing that everyone said surprise, and it just touched my brother. And this guy has been my friend since being 4 years old. He started crying. He welled up. He started crying. I had to hold it in. I felt it before. It's one of those kind of one. Lee S. Great show, Spence, and Dr. Mark Prince, Alfie Black. Godspeed, lads. Jose knows what time it is.
Easy, champ.
Jay Lanks. It's too much. Air Force Rob. Big up, Reds. Everything. Right. Blah, blah, blah. It's just been too much. 84. Thank you, guys. Mark holding it down on these shows. 100. Yeah. Mark's my guy, man. No doubt, me and Mark did some work together, trying to boost up things. I'm looking forward to this Boatsy. I hope there's going to be this Boatsy yard Boatsy thing. I hope so. Big up, Bobby Wright. Thank you so much for the donation as well. Joe Barrow, blessings, Mark. Brilliant show, Spencer. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Keep on going. Big up Kurt Campbell. And I'm gonna turn into Tundi now. I need to shine the shiny teeth. Dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on.
Peace, two fingers, we out. Thank you everyone for coming in. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment, and have a beautiful week ahead. Peace, we're out.
Peace.
Love.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.